All right, I'm not even kidding. Hour number three, last hour of the week. Let's get this. Let's do this. Finish strong. Hit your weekend hard. Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. I am live. I am in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, then you know Rocket can. Big head bets about 2 minutes out. Normally, I would jump right into it, but it is smack-off season. Smack-off participants, smack-off content gets priority. This guy wants back in. He wants a golden ticket. He has it, actually. But he's a three-time smack-off participant. So let me clarify that. He does have it. I did give him one. But again, you have to cement that status. You want to make sure that I take that call on the day of the event. Tyler in Shredmonton. We've already heard from his former running mate, his former wingman, Matt Van. Tyler is back trying to solidify his spot. Tyler, what's going on?
Van smack. Real quick on Scabs. Scabs, you're kind of confirming everything I'm saying by calling me skinny dude. You know why I go back to the well of fat jokes so often, Scab? Because there's a lot of wells in the 360 to go to. Now, Romy, I got to congratulate you on holding a 40-minute conversation with the one and only Nate Diaz. Honestly, dude, he's probably my favorite fighter. But the way he talks and mumbles drives me insane sometimes, dude. Listening to him talk is like the equivalent of you and Hawk having to read emails with 300 grammar mistakes. Romy, it feels good, just like I predicted, to be leading some of these schmucks right into the blades of the choppa. And it got me thinking, man, where is Dan in Denver? And, dude, I loved how he didn't get on the air last year, then proceeded to kiss your ass and apologize and claim to put in more effort this year. Please. Yeah, we all believe that one, Dan. We all believe you're being real sincere with that one, Daniel. Hey, Dan, a couple things for you. Trump lost the election, COVID is real, and there aren't any microchips in the vaccine. And if you're not doing time for your participation on January 6th, then I suggest you show yourself and make a call. Have a good weekend, Romy. I'm out.
Boy, you too, Tyler. Tyler in Shredmonton. That didn't do anything to hurt his cause, and in fact, probably helped it. My man's building himself back up. Could you imagine the two bros from Canada throwing it back and both making it in? Matt and Van, Tyler and Edmonton. These two guys are playing their best ball when it matters most. Next segment, Devon Kennard of the Arizona Cardinals. This segment, Big Head, James Kelly of Big Head Bets. Yo, Head, what's up?
Not much, Jim Rome. What's happening?
What's up, Big Head? Not too much. Listen, you know, the clones can talk all they want, Head. They can give you and I all the crap they want for playing chalk or for doing what I did last night, namely hitting the money line twice. All I know is I made some money last night, and it felt pretty damn good. And when I lose, Head, it feels pretty damn crappy. And I'd rather feel good than crappy. So hopefully you've got some good data rattling around that enormous head of yours. So how you feeling heading into this weekend?
Man, I'm feeling great. Smart call on the Bucks money line play, too, by you. Well done, because you would have lost that spread by half a point. So
thank you very much. Yeah. Exactly, right? Mm-hmm. So let's get into it. I'm glad you brought that up. So I didn't have to give myself credit, although I probably would have. So the Hawks, why don't we start right there? The Hawks did what they had to do. They ripped a game in Philly. They get to return home with the home court. I've made it absolutely clear. I love Trae Young. I love this guy. But long before that, you know what I made clear? That I love Joel Embiid. The big dude's out there on a jacked up knee, and he's killing it. As long as he can continue to manage that pain, there's no reason to believe that he's going to stop abusing fools. He's on a mission. I personally like the Sixers on the road, -1.5. Is that the number you see, and how do you see the matchup?
I'm seeing 1.5, and I'm riding with you and Joel here. Joel had plenty of motivation before the series started, and he's adding that MVP loss to it. I will say, though, Jim, Atlanta is at their best covering at home. They are only behind Phoenix as the second-best home cover in the entire association, hitting on 65% of their games. However, as a home dog, and why I like Philly here, They are not as good. The concerning part for me for Philly is Doc and his bench. I wish he'd actually shorten that damn thing. They've killed him the last two games. But I see Ben Simmons playing well tonight. Usually when he fails to reach double figures in a game like he did in game two, he plays much better his next time out, and they usually win. I'm banking on that. Here, I'm going with Philly on the road, -1.5, -1.
So that's the first one. Sixers, -1.5. You and I are on the same page there. Now the Clippers, big head. Clippers going to clip, right? And they did in Game 2 last night, as was the case in Game 1. Man, they had a really good look at it against the top seed. They could have and probably should have, in the very least, gotten a split. Instead, they're coming home down 2-0. And I don't want to hear this crap about how, they came back on the Mavs down 2-0. Because Utah's not the Mavs, all right? So far, they've got no answer for Donovan Mitchell. And now they've got to win 4 out of 5 against a really good team in Utah. I'm not asking you to pick the series. We don't have to do this. But you do need to pick Game 3. L.A., -4. How are you playing that?
Yeah, well, I did get great odds for the Clippers to win that series down 0-2 against Dallas. And if you wanted to do the same here to win this series, you can get them at +350. But as you said, it's about this game tonight. And I'm going with the tomorrow. I'm going with the Clippers -4. Now, we've made a lot of money on Utah this year, Jim, on this segment. But the majority of that has come off when they're playing at home. On the road, it's a different story for the Jazz. They are covering around 52% of their away games. Not bad. But as an away dog, like they are here, they've hit on only 25% of their games this year. As an overall underdog, they only hit on 33%, so they're just not very good in that spot. So Utah's stingy D is making it difficult for the Clippers right now, especially last night in crunch time. But I think Ty Lue will now make some big adjustments. More Kawhi roaming Mitchell, and L.A. shoots it better at home in Game 3 because overall they can shoot. I'm going against Utah, who has gone 6-1 against the spread in the playoffs, and I'm going with Pandemic P and the Clippers -4.
Clones, are you writing this down? This is the big head. James Kelly, big head bets. Listen, really quickly, you mentioned you could get the Clippers at +350 right now. They're down 2-0. They've got to beat Utah 4 times in 5 games. Would you hit that +350?
I will not now. I liked them winning this series, but like you mentioned, I thought they could have got one of those games in Utah, so now I will not hit that +350.
Sam, I would not either. Okay, Nuggets, Suns, they're running it back. Well, my dude Michael Malone is hoping they do not run it back because he lit his team up following Game 2, saying that they quit. Personally, I do not have a problem with that. Nobody knows his team better than he knows his team, and if he says they quit, then they quit. Then again, the Suns are on a heater. I can see where they would make others want to quit. Denver's got to have this one. What's the number? What's the play?
The number is Denver -1.5, -2. And yes, Denver looks shot right now. But like you said, Malone did challenge his guys. And to his credit, every time they faced adversity, they have thrived after it. It's very Tubes-like, if you will. Stand in, keep moving, keep fighting.
What?
But
how would you just try and do?
Oh, I'm sorry. But the numbers here, the numbers hate Denver here, and Phoenix is on fire on the latest trend.
Any of this head?
I just keep moving, man. Just keep moving. Latest trends, recent trends, all of Phoenix. The Suns on the year as an away underdog cover better than their league-leading home favorite rate against a spread of almost 70%. They are covering 72% as an away dog. Denver's not good in this spot either, Jim, as a home favorite. And on the court, the Nuggets have struggled from distance due to the Suns' 3D. The Joker needs help. You have to wonder if this spot is where, you know, the Murray injury finally gets him. Michael Porter Jr. has struggled in this series. He's struggled all year against the Suns. I'm going to take the points, and I'm going to take Phoenix.
Hey, listen, you know, in what you and I do every single Friday, there is no guarantee, right? There's no stone-cold lock. Nothing's guaranteed. I can't promise anything. But I can promise this, and I know a stone-cold lock when I see one. The stone-cold lock of the day was you mixing in a Tubes reference when it had nothing to do with anything.
I almost started off the top with it. I mean, there's plenty of betting terminology we could use for Tubes, but, you know, I mean,
yeah,
I didn't go there.
Yeah, good work. Way to stay in your shoes. Way to keep it in. Anyway, so one, I want to ask you, thank you, Alvin. You're not helping him. You're hurting him, Alvin. And you shouldn't be taking one day off a week, Alvin, nor siding with James Kelly. Listen, I can't not ask you about Major League Baseball, except right now I don't care enough about any of it to hit anything in particular. So I'm just going to ask you, is there anything at all in Major League Baseball which is getting your attention? Because for me, it's not. Not really.
Yeah, let's go San Fran and +1.5 on that run line against Washington and Max Scherzer on the road. Mm. Tough ass to beat Max, but the Giants are the best team in baseball against the run line this season. Also, the Giants starting pitcher, Anthony D. Sclafani, is inconsistent, but he has been very, very good on the road this season. And the Nationals offense, that's been very, very bad this season at home, scoring an MLB worst 3.36 runs per game, Jim. The Giants actually score the fifth most runs on the road, and their bullpen has been solid if they need some of that help. So let's go Giants +1.5 on the run line.
There's no way to work a Tubes reference into that matchup.
The original tissue price of this matchup has the Giants at a good number. Well, there we go. How about that?
Okay, I'm sorry I asked, Big Head. Hope you're enjoying your last
Shocked
segment ever on this
and
show.
Appalled.
All right, so just stop. So, you know we're talking UFC 263, right? Just as you know, this is an enormous Nate Diaz house. I love him. You love him. The odds makers do not love him in this fight. Not against Leon Edwards, a dude that really nobody else wants to try, and Nate could not wait to get into the cage with. So you can get some serious, serious value if you roll with Nate. Mm-hmm. What is the number you're seeing, and how are you playing this one, and do you see anything else on that card that you like?
So you can get Nate at +390 if you want him. Now, this is the eighth straight fight Nate's been the underdog. I mean, think about that for
That's
a second.
Crazy.
It's crazy, but it says a lot about him, right? And it's why people love him, because he's always willing to fight the toughest guy out there. I mean, if he's not a favorite, it tells you he's not afraid of anybody, right? So, obviously, I love him, and he's got incredible value, but business is business, and I just don't see him winning here, Jim. I have to go Edwards.
You know what he would say to that? He would say, bleep you, Big Head.
He would, too, man. But
literally, he would.
Yeah, no doubt about that part, too. But here's the problem, though. Edwards is -575.
Wow.
So I will do the rare parlay and couple that with Izzy. Izzy is -275 favorite over, but if Edwards and Izzy together, you can get a -166 here. That's my play. I think Edwards is just too precise, too good of a striker for Nate. But again, Nate can surprise and an underdog once again.
He has worked miracles in the past. He's in deep. There's a reason why the numbers are the numbers.
Yes.
Man, that is such an amazing thing you just said. Even I didn't know that. Nate has been an underdog in his last eight fights.
It's incredible. And even if he loses, he's still beloved by everybody because, again, dude, nobody takes the fights that Nate Diaz will take. And that's why people love him. He picks the guys that he wants, and he's like, dude, everybody thinks this guy's a big badass. I'll take that guy. And he does. And half the time, he wins.
No, the thing about that is, even if he loses, Nate always shows up a certain way. He's always in shape. He's always ready to go to war. He's always got that realness about him. Man, Nate is one of the greatest.
And that's how he could win this fight, too, here. If he does what Nate always does.
What's the scenario? How does he win this fight?
Drag him in, right? Drag him in. Keep coming. Keep putting that pressure on there. And hopefully Edwards takes off the gas and Nate, you know, takes the first, second round ass kicking that he usually does. And then he gets going and gets going. It hurt him against Jorge. Jorge had him, you know, badly hurt for the first two rounds. He starts getting a little bit better at that third, but his eyes cut and they call it. And, man, that scar tissue on Nate's face is an absolute concern because he's been in wars.
He cuts. He bleeds. But then again, what's one more thing about that fight? It's the first fight in the history of the promotion that's a five-round fight that's not a championship fight. So obviously, if he can drag him out there, the longer the fight goes, the better it is for Nate. But what's that say about Nate and that matchup? There's never been a five-round fight that was not a championship fight.
Yeah, or on the final fight on the main card, right? On both those things. And then what does it say him just smoking weed at his presser yesterday and his cardio? I mean, the guy must run marathons daily to be able to go into these fourth and fifth rounds. So, I mean, you'd look at that guy yesterday at that press conference just smoking weed up there and think, oh, my gosh, there's no way he can do four or five. But that's when he's at his strongest. So
I got one last thought for you. I got one last thought. Business is business. Business is business. You should never, ever, ever, ever bet emotionally. My head would tell me it's not a great matchup for Nate, but man, I love this guy so much that I'll admit it. I throw money at guys, the few guys that I really, really want to win, where I know it's not good business. Nate's one of those guys. Like, on paper, there's no way Nate should win. But how do I go against Nate, man? I love the guy.
No, but that's why I go with the other guys. So if Nate loses, I still win money, but if Nate wins, I'm happy to, you know, kind of pay up the money.
That's bullcrap, dude. You're betting against Nate. Don't tell me that. That's just business.
I'm hedging my bet right there.
Okay, I got you. Really quickly, run it down, top to bottom. Who do you got this weekend?
Sixers minus one, Clippers minus four, Suns plus 1.5, San Fran in Major League Baseball plus the run line at Washington, Edwards, Izzy, parlay at minus 166.
Make sure you put it on Twitter, Big Head. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Let's get paid.
Thanks, Jim.
James Kelly, Big Head Bets. Do any of you ever do that? Do you ever bet against somebody or something that you feel really strongly about that you don't think they're going to win, but you feel like you would be disloyal? Or is a non-bet the way you handle that? Like, I am so about Nate Diaz, but that is such a big ask for him. There's a reason nobody wants to fight Edwards. He's really good and really dangerous and ranked third right now in the division. Like, nobody wants to try this guy. And Nate's like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll fight him. I'll take that. And if you look at the numbers, the people who set the odds think that he has no chance whatsoever. So why would I throw money? Money's hard to make. Why would I throw money at Nate? Because I love the guy, man. I love the guy. Deep down, I'm really kind of concerned that it's not a good matchup. Not that he's not good enough, but it's just styles make fights. That's not a good matchup. But it's Nate being fearless. In fact, it's like I just got to throw my support behind the Nate army, man, because he's fearless and he always gives us our money's worth. I got your back, Nate. I'm with you, Nate.
You're the man.
No, you are, Nate. All right, when we come back, Devon Kennard joins me. 1-800-636-8686. The second round is in full swing. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders to give you some skin in the game. DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at up to 10 grand in total prizes. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around who you think is going to do what. Lots of questions, basic questions, and then you track your results throughout the evening. Questions like, who's going to hit the most threes? Which team is going to score first? You know, basic stuff like that. Good stuff like that. Download the top-rated DraftKings app. Use the code ROAM. When you sign up, you get a free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the playoffs. Promo code ROAM. Limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for full details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, we're not there yet. It's good things. I've got some good stuff between now and the end of the program, including Alvy's week that was. Stay tuned. Right now, we are joined by a linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals. He is entering his eighth NFL season. 19 tackles, 9 quarterback hits, 3 sacks in 13 games last year. He was the Detroit Lions' Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. 174th pick overall in 2014 out of USC. Arizona coming off an 8-8 season. They open up against Tennessee. Big game September 12th, 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Devon Kennard is my guest. Devon, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good, good. Listen, I mentioned that you are entering your eighth NFL season. I mean, the fact that you started your eighth minicamp, you know the way this league works and how few guys make it past their first minicamp. So what's it mean to you to be entering your eighth NFL season?
It's surreal, man. Time really does fly. I remember it like it was yesterday that I was, you know, a rookie getting drafted from the Giants, and now I'm going into my eighth year playing in my hometown for a good team and a great organization that I you know am very familiar with and knew growing up. So it comes full circle. I'm one of the old heads in the locker room now, which is something that, you know, I'm very proud of, just to be able to make it this far.
Devon Kennard joining us. It's so true, right? So few athletes get to play for their hometown. You and I spoke shortly after you signed with the Cards last year, and we talked about the fact that it was a homecoming and you were going to play where you grew up. Now that you've had a year under your belt, what's that experience been like?
Man, honestly, I'm kind of excited to give this year a clean slate and a fresh start, because last year, with how weird it was with COVID, it, like, didn't hit all the way. You know, we didn't have fans in the stands, like, only got to have like a couple people come to games every now and then once the year got started. So I'm really looking forward to this season with fans back in the stands and it being more of a normal game day experience.
You know, I appreciate that. Listen, I know you're looking forward, but I want to ask you one thing about last year, because it really was challenging. And it was challenging in the sense that you had to deal with a calf injury and then a positive COVID test. After the test, you had to isolate and be away from your wife and your daughter for 10 days while you had to try and stay active with what you called caveman workouts. What were the caveman workouts like? And then what was that whole time like for you?
It was pretty funny. I stayed near a park, just an open field. So I would go and just run a bunch of sprints, and I was in the room just doing push-ups nonstop and trying to figure out, just trying to stay ready, watching a lot of film. I was lucky. You know, I feel fortunate. A lot of people had a lot of symptoms and dealt with way more than I did when they had it. But I had no symptoms. I felt completely fine the entire time. So I was just trying to put myself in position to be able to come back and continue to help the team.
There you go. So you got a new opportunity this year. You're entering your eighth season, but not just that, right? You're entering it with a team that was really close to the postseason last year and then has been really aggressive in the offseason in terms of who they've added. So what are your thoughts when you see the team adds J.J. Watt, A.J. Green, and more?
You know, like on paper, we have a really good team, but we got to go out there and put the work in. And I like how we started this offseason. You know, we just finished mini camp. It was a great atmosphere. Everybody was working hard and really gelling and building those relationships. And that goes a long way. So we got to build off of that, have a great camp. And, you know, I'll take us over anybody when the time comes, but we got to continue to put the work in and earn it.
Right. I think you guys look amazing on paper, and we'll see how it looks and how it translates on the field. Now, when you consider the step forward that Kyler Murray took in his second season, what kind of expectations do you have for him as he enters his third year?
I think he's going to have a great year. You know, he's going to keep improving and being the guy for us, and I'm excited to see what he can do.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things that we've talked about in the past, you are an investor, you are an avid reader. Earlier this week, you announced that you're going to become an author, and you signed with HarperCollins. This is actually a pretty big step. How did that come to be, and how excited are you about that challenge?
Yeah, you know, this offseason, it was something that I've always kind of had on the back of my mind that I wanted to become an author and write about, and I didn't know what that process would be like, but I just took a leap of faith. I started jotting down a lot of notes and things. I've had it in my head of concepts that I wanted to write about, and I put some thoughts together. I reached out to some people I knew, found a great literary agent, and he loved my idea immediately, helped me hone it in and put together a proposal. And HarperCollins was he had a good relationship there, and we pitched it, and I didn't know what the response was going to be, but a few weeks afterwards, they offered a deal, we negotiated, you know, I just signed on the dotted line this week, so I'm looking forward to it. It's early in the process, so can't give many details on it yet, but I'm really looking forward to it, and once I come out with it, I'll let you know, and we're going to hop on again.
For sure, we'll do that. Devon Kennard joining us. So I get what you just said, that it's early in the process, and you can't divulge too many details. You know, I've been doing this thing myself. Like, I've been in that same process, but it's still early for me, too, because I can't quite figure it out, so I'm really curious about your process. Do you know exactly what you're going to write about yet?
Yeah, I already have like kind of the idea and everything, and I put an outline together. So it's really just sitting down and get getting it all together and really formulating the whole book. And, you know, this process takes a while. You got to go back and forth with editors, and I'm learning as I go. I didn't know what it all entails. I just had a vision and idea that I really wanted to share with the world. And you know, now I'm going to have the opportunity to do so. So it's been a fun process so far, but I'm learning as I go, and I'm going to try to kind of be as transparent as I can throughout the process, because I feel like that's something a lot of people feel like how I did before I got started. Like, is it how does that process work, and could I possibly do it? And, you know, I feel like if I show people how to do it and what it was like for me, then maybe more people will do it themselves.
That's it. That's what people want to know. How did you do what you did? Be authentic, be transparent. You're all these things. Here's something interesting. Like, I've got a side hustle to my side hustle where I started another podcast. And one of the guys I wanted to talk to, it's kind of funny, like in this space, and you know the space because you read similar books to books I read, some of these guys just will not do any interviews anymore. The book I'm talking about is Atomic Habits by James Clear. It is a famous book. I know a lot of people have read this book. It's sitting on my desk right now. I have to admit, I have not read the book yet, but I know you have. What do you like about that book, and what was your biggest takeaway from it?
It's funny you mentioned it. I'm actually doing a reading club right now, and later this month, I'm going to be asking everyone on social media and on my website to give me their thoughts on the book and stuff. But for me, it's a powerful book. It's had a huge impact in my life. First time I read it was actually a few months ago, earlier this off season, and I do naturally in the book, but how I can be intentional with improving my habits and really focusing in, and it makes, like, whatever you want to be or whoever you want to become, it kind of breaks it down on how you could become that person in a practical way. And, you know, if anybody is reading it, talking about my book club, it's going down right now.
It is actually, Devon. It's one of those words.
It's on your desk, so you got to tune in.
No, absolutely. It is one of those books that is passed around. Everybody knows about the book. And it's certainly a book that I can't imagine why I haven't read that book yet, but it is sitting on my desk, and I'm going to get to it sooner than later. You've got the cards. He is entering his eighth season. He is a soon-to-be author. Arizona 8-8 last year. They open up at Tennessee. And Devon, you're right. Once that book drops, you definitely come back on. We chop it up. We talk about that, and it's good to have you back. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, man.
Devon Kennard, my guest. All right, so our connection issues have been something of an issue today. When you hear the Dana White music more than once during a show, not good. But we got the gist of it, so I'm glad we ran him down finally.
Not good.
You know what? Below not good.
Below,
but it's going to get good, and it's about to get above good. I'll tell you why it's going to get good. There's a number of things that are going to happen between now and the end of the program that are good. Let me run them down. Alvin's week that was. Guaranteed it's going to be good. The ATP. No guarantee there. If you give me a good question, you will get a good answer. If you give me a bad question, I'll probably still save your ass and give you a good answer. I'll tell you what's going to get good. You're going to be caught up to date momentarily in what's going on in the world of sports. In fact, why don't we do that right now? Here is a sports update for you. Let's get to that ATP. Time to answer your question. You're asked a pros question where you get to submit a question to me at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Rome, my mother-in-law is in town. She keeps grabbing the checks when we go to dinner. I've only gotten to one before her this past week, and she was mad that I paid. How can I guarantee to pick up another check before she can? Join the ATX. Dude, why is this an issue? Why is that a problem? If it is a problem, do what I do. If I feel very strongly about that, and generally I do, I literally will get a credit card into a waiter's hand before I get the menu. Like, when I sit down, I'll slip him the credit card. Like, I don't even mean in the middle of the meal or towards the end of the meal because other people know that game. Like, I'll do it right when I walk in the door. Like, I'll give it to the hostess. So just do that. Dear Jim, have any of the Smack-Off winners run the table? In other words, were they the first callers of the day? It seems like Smack-Off winners generally call in the third segment of the show. I would be more impressed if they started it off and were able to hold off everybody else. Mike and KC. Well, yes and no. I mean, yeah, if you wire the field, that's an amazing thing. It's actually tactical and strategic to wait so you can react to some of what you heard because we're impressed that you're reacting to what's happening on the fly. It's in real time. It's not something you composed 3 months out and then just delivered day of. But there is a greater degree of difficulty. I think the only one who's ever done that is Brad. I think Brad did wire the field once. You know, ran up front and won it. Jim, what is the photo on your iPhone lock screen? Bella B, good one. See it? Eagle River. Eagle River. Wisconsin. That is the lock screen. And believe me, like it or not, you will be seeing more of those. Me cocktailing, me coughing, me hanging out on the dock. I'm not there. It's just the dock. It's the dock at sunset. I'll put myself in. I did last summer. I'll be there. Gym guy. What, gym guy? What is the weirdest encounter that you have had with a fan in public? Shafe in Buffalo. I don't know. Homeboy had me sign his back once and turned it into a tat. Shout out, Kyle in Green Bay. What up, dude? Dude, I'll be in Wisconsin this summer. Let's hope we do not run into each other. Just kidding, Kyle. Probably that. Let's go to the phones. Now, here's some unfinished business. Tyler went in on Dan in Denver, saying, where you at, Dan? Where you been, Dan? You were on hold the entire Smack-Off, Dan. We have not seen or heard from you since. What do you know? Look who's here. Dan in Denver. What's going on, dude?
Jimmy, first of all, who is Erica? What's up, girl? Jim, thanks for having me, man. This isn't an RSVP call, by the way, mostly because I never know if I'm invited. Jimmy, you're right. Tyler is getting a bunch of hype right before the main event. Where have I seen this before? Oh, yeah, every freaking Smack-Off he's ever been in. Hey, Tyler, you should apologize for that Nate Diaz blast, by the way. You set that up by saying he was a guest on Jim's podcast, after all. Who wrote that bit for you? Chael Sonnen? And that's a pretty good comparison for Tyler, too, by the way. Tyler talks a lot of really good smack before the fight, and then when the title's on the line, he gets his teeth beat in. And judging by his Mountain Dew mouth, I mean that literally. Tyler, I get that my apology to Rome last year came off a little bit desperate, but not nearly as desperate as flying across the country to meet Rich Ackerman for a photo. Jimmy, I'm going to war Tyler and Dr. Dave having the same amount of top 10 finishes in the event. Out.
Dan, because you ended that call so quickly, there was something I wanted to say to you. You're in. You're still in. You're in the field. You're invited. I like that, man. He showed up. This guy cracked back on him. Pretty well, in fact. Tyler, and then Dan's right there. I'm still here. Alvy, are you ready? So let me be very clear about that. Dan, you're in. You have an invite. Does not guarantee, as you know. You know better than anybody. Does not guarantee you'll get on the air. However, you are still invited. You're still a part of these proceedings. Alvy, roll that week that was.
Good morning, Romy. Good morning, Jungle. You know...
Welcome to the jungle. What's cracking?
My name is Jim Rome.
So good to be with you.
Jim
All right, so things I want to start with. How about the Clippers? Why don't we do that?
Awesome.
The first round is over. The home team.
So, yes, I'm going to acknowledge the Game 7 win, but I'm still not sold. I want to see this against the Jazz. Do that, and then maybe we can start to change the narrative about this team.
Clipper fans here!
Vincent Goodwill.
Haha, my man Jim Rome.
How you doing? This is Magic right from the Twitter account. No, of course Magic knows what he's doing. Magic is not oblivious to this.
The smack off 27.
Poor effort,
the tradition continues.
Dude, that guy gets more ass than Kelly Clarkson's Lazy Boy.
Friday, June 25th.
Time to die.
Tim Corbin joining us.
This is a kid that's going to, he's definitely going to have a chance to pitch beyond here, but he certainly has a high care level for what he's doing.
I'm going to be entering the jungle on a big day in a bad mood, clones, and now the smack-off roster is going to pay for this disrespect.
Do you ever think you'd be this good?
Is that a real question?
Practically went Rex Leo on that.
Yeah.
Except Rex did it in the middle of a decidedly non-legendary interview.
Is that a question?
Is that a real question?
Is that a real question?
No, the closest thing to charcuterie in the trailer park is when cockroaches eat cheese whiz.
Silk bra.
If you take your perfectly clean car to a car wash and drive it in through backwards, does it come out dirty? Come on.
Email.
What the hell is the matter with phone slots?
What's the matter with you, Mike? It's just a joke. We're just having fun here. Is that okay with you, Mike?
Shouldn't even be allowed to talk about that.
Xander Schauffele. Just want to ask you one thing about Phil Mickelson.
I was kicking his ass.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he wasn't playing great. All this crap leading into it, but for the most part, he's not surprised.
Hey, Paul's dog. What's up?
Here for my rolling ticket. Woo! I still have my pair. They're big, but they're bright.
Hawk getting duped again. Am I right, Mike and Snowbird?
Have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't.
How painful was that?
Struggling.
Foul Kilmer. I was waiting for him to point off to the side and shout, hey, yo, look over there. And then try and sprint away from the podium. Matt Olson is my guest.
The homer's not always going to be there. You got to find a way to produce other ways.
I thought you were going to say the home run's not always going to be there when guys are loading up the baseball with all sorts of homemade glue and goop.
Yeah, obviously that's a hot topic. No matter what happens, we got to stand at the dish and try to hit it.
Yo, champ, what's cracking?
Everyone knows I'm looking to win this thing twice this year for my fourth ring, Jimmy. I want to get it sized for my middle finger. To all the haters that didn't vote for me as best caller ever in the 25th, baby.
If Silk Bro hits his 18-1 odds for the win, I will go away forever. No calls, no emails, nothing. I will call him my daddy.
Sorry, Janet. I just wanted to, you know, this may happen again if Jim doesn't give me an RSVP.
And now it's gone.
Here comes Paul. Look away!
I'm saying he might be one of the toughest guys in the league to like, because for every great game, there's also a flop or a nut shot, but you've got to tip your hat to him. Damn good player.
Were Jake Rome planning a Project X-style party at the Evil Eagle River House and not telling the old man about it? Holler if you hear me.
Cameron Kinley, my guest. You're not trying to avoid your commitment.
100%. It's never been about me getting out of my commitment. When I committed to the Naval Academy team, I knew there was a 5-year service commitment.
I was channel surfing. You had Cameron Kinley on. I am going to pray for him.
Gary Payton.
John Stockton was a nightmare for me. He would only play for 34 minutes. Then all of a sudden you look at it, he has 16 assists. And you look up on a number board, we down 20 or 30. We thought he was dirty, but we was stupid.
You pukes better be ready, because the plumber's coming back into the jungle to ream all your candy asses a new one. Outro.
Hey, audience, tell me how my ass tastes. I just gave him a golden ticket.
You were caught masturbating on camera.
I am trying to become the kind of person that people can trust again.
My man, this is not a torn ACL. This is not a temporary setback setting up for a much bigger comeback. Believe that.
I thought that I had turned off the Zoom call.
Damn.
So let's go Giants +1.5 on the run line.
There's no way to work a Tubes reference into that matchup.
The original tissue price of this matchup has the Giants at a good number.
Sorry I asked.
Shut up and go away and take Silk and your disgusting man breast with you.
There's a number of things that are going to happen between now and the end of the program that are good. Here is Erica Herskowitz.
Probably won't be that good.
I'm out of
here. Hey, did you like the Magic impression, Rome?
Good talking to you. I've been listening to all your interviews. You're the man.
Can I make the show better?
Is that a real question?
Life and karma is a bitch.
I appreciate it, Jim. Good catching up with you, bud.
Has a lot of sex with his wife.
Jim, anytime, man. Anytime you want me on, it's a pleasure.
You're stacked, Romy.
Crazy.
Like, who does that?
You better don't.
And until next time, Jim, good night now!
Good job, Alvy. There's your week that was. And even on the back end, there's time. She wants a golden ticket. Could I give one out before the end of the week? Let's go to Wisco, my favorite state, next to Cali. Susie. Hey, Susie, what's up?
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call today. And I get it was cut short the other day because you were up against the clock. And the open phone segment, it was taken up by dirtbags and filthy animals. And I mean no disrespect to Paulson. Wouldn't know what ladies love, even if he looked his bitch-ass reflection in the mirror. Jim, I'm here to get in the game by stepping up to the plate to make a call. Because even if being really good at social got you a golden ticket, Bella B would be a strong contender. That's not how the smack-off works. I've got the moxie to pick up the phone. Unlike Ashley in Nebraska, if that's even your real name. For all we know, you're just a G.I.
Susie?
You don't like that car.
I don't like that car.
Susie, I think, honestly, that is one of those cases where that hurt me more than that hurt you. Because I like you. But the standard is the standard. It is smack-off season. I'm not saying that you are not welcome to call the program, just not during smack-off season. Well, at least not to get a golden ticket. If you're going to go on record as saying, I'm here to retrieve my golden ticket, the standard is the standard. And that's beneath the bar. So I think that hurt me more than that hurt you. Or maybe it hurt us both the same. Or maybe it didn't really hurt me at all because, well, somebody's got to run this place. Remember whose name is on the marquee. The standard is the standard. Susie and Wisco. Okay, now we're done. My thanks to Chris Herring. My thanks to the big head, James Kelly. Devon Kennard. The XR4TI crew. You clones. 14 days, 10 shows. Make it 13 days, 9 shows. You're running out of time. I said the field is basically set, but it's not. Somebody can rise up, get in, and shock the world. It could happen. Hope you have a tremendous weekend, and I will see you right back here on Monday. We're out.